Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Key verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not the prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, amen, is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then I want to read over here in Psalms. This was a Thanksgiving verses, and this one, it's a praise. Psalms 103, 1 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgaveth all thine iniquities, who healed all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again, Lord, for the opportunity of being in your house. We're so thankful, God, for the testimonies of your people here today. The thankfulness and the humbleness, Lord, of their hearts, God. We're so thankful, Lord, for all the work that you have done inside of them. We're so thankful for so many things. So we pray, God, for just a few minutes, Lord, as we look into your word, that you'll help us to bring out, God, those things, those thoughts that you would want us to preach on this morning. We need you, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He said here, rejoice evermore. And that means rejoice. Let me give you a definition of that. Rejoice is to feel or show great joy or delight. In Luke 10 and 20, Jesus told him this. He said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen. Praise God for that this morning. Let me tell you something for those of you who don't know. God's got books and God's keeping books. Amen. And he's recording every man's work. Everything, the life that you live, how you live your life and what you do. Huh? There's a recording. Huh? It's written down. And in one of these days, God, that man will stand before Christ and give an account for how they lived their lives. But that's not what I'm preaching about this morning. Huh? I'm preaching about the rejoicing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a book in heavens called the Lamb's Book of Life.
And every saved person, every man, woman, boy, and girl's name is written down in that book. That's what Jesus was talking about. Huh? You know, you can rejoice over this and you can rejoice over that. Huh? But I tell you, the most important thing is rejoice that your name's written in the book of life. Huh? I tell you what, because there's going to be a roll call one of these days, huh, my friend, huh, and there's going to be a roll when the roll's called up yonder, huh, and I tell you what, the books are going to be open, and that book of life, my friend, huh, and when your name's on it, huh, Jesus is going to say to you, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Into the joys of life.
Right.
And I tell you, when we enter into that place and through those gates, my friend, huh, it's not going to last 10 years or 50 years or 100 years. My friend, you can take years away, huh, because there's no time limit. It's eternity. Huh? And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Right.
Amen. It's what the scripture said. Rejoice. Rejoice. Huh? Rejoice, huh, in the prayers, huh, that God has answered for you. Hmm? Rejoice, my friend, that He saved you and transformed you. I want to tell you something, huh, church? We got a lot to rejoice about. Huh? I tell you what, my friend, huh? God has drawn us out of this destructive, sinful world and gave us new life. Amen? Huh? And wrote our names down in His book and adopted us into His family. Huh? These are things that are never fade away. Amen? Rejoice evermore. And I'll tell you what. Believe me, I've had some experiences. Huh? We go through life. There's a lot of things. I tell you, we don't rejoice because it's a hard way to go. In other words, it said here, try to be always happy. At times that is hard to do. But the religion of Christ was intended to remove misery, unhappiness, emptiness, loneliness, and all the heartaches of life. Huh? Now listen, God knows what we're going through. He knows what we're going to face. I can tell you right now, huh? And I'm not going to tell you my personal life, but the things that I'm going through right now, huh? God knows all about it. Huh? But I tell you what, huh? Regardless of how bad it gets, I tell you, I still see the light of Christ. I realize that He's in it. Though I don't understand it and why it's happening and why the pain and the sorrow and the brokenness. But He knows all about it and He's in it. I'm going to keep going on it. It's hard to rejoice when you're broken and down and your family or your loved ones, or your marriage, or any relationship, or whatever's going on, sometimes it's hard to go through. But rejoice evermore. You're not in it alone.
Right.
Amen. God's in it with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Now, I was looking at that, trying to study that. And one of the definitions was, I guess this is in reality, it's real. There's people that have a coughing problem. They cough all the time. Okay? Now, when I say that, I don't mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They'll get a coughing spell. Huh? And they'll cough a while, and then it'll go away. Huh? But they still have that, whatever disease it is. Huh? They still have it. Huh? So the coughing spell, is when they start coughing, you hear it naturally, okay? But when they're not coughing, they still have that disease. So what it represents is pray without ceasing. Even though we're praying out loud at times to God, huh? We're also praying quietly inside without uttering any words. Huh? That's what he's saying. Pray without ceasing. Keep your mind on prayer. I want to tell you something, church. Without prayer, we're not going to get nowhere. Prayer is the vital key to this Christian life. It means everything. What is prayer? It's communicating with God. It's getting alone with Him and pouring your heart out to Him and praying to Him. He already knows our needs before we even ask. Huh? But we're still to pray. It's a commandment. Huh? Jesus gave the commandment. Man ought to always pray and not faint. Amen? Praise God. Prayer changes things. My friend, it's powerful. Huh? Praise God. We are dependent on God for every good. Without Him, we can do nothing. Feel the dependence at all times. And you will always be in the spirit of prayer. Those who feel His Spirit will be found in the exercise of prayer. Amen. Praise God. In everything, give thanks. For this is, listen to this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Amen. Why? Because we know, listen to me, that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Why? We live God, why we live here for God. Prosperity and adversity will be equally helpful to you. This is the will of God. A living, be in the attitude of prayer for God and has saved you and wants to communicate with you personally. He made us to have fellowship with Him. Always be thankful for what God has done for you and what He is doing for you right now. Be grateful and be humble and be obedient. Gratitude and obedience are inseparable, connected together. Amen. Be thankful and be grateful for what God has done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate your testimonies, huh? And how what you said and what you're thankful for. Amen. This is one thing we have in common. Huh? We're thankful for our families. We're thankful for our homes. We're thankful for our job. We're thankful for the food on the table, huh? We're thankful that we got a little bit of money, huh? We're not wealthy, I'll tell you what, but we got enough to get by, huh? Praise God for that, huh? I tell you, these things in this life are perishable and they're going away, huh? I tell you what, I thought about this, huh? And I know you do it too, those of us that's working. You look at your paycheck, huh? Well, I made X amount of dollars. Boy, that looks good. That first one looks pretty high. Huh? Then the government gets it. Huh? Huh? Then the state gets it. And now it's going down and down. Huh? Oh, my lands. Then you get your insurance. Huh? Your 401k. And all your other deductions. Huh? Now this big mount was right here. Oh my gosh, now it's down here, it's cut in half. What happened?
Praise God. I'm glad, huh? That I'm able to work and got a job. Huh? Even though my family's already gone and raising their own kids, huh? I'm thankful that I can still work. I'm thankful for all the benefits, my friend. And I was thinking about this, huh? Regardless, I look at that top number, huh? And I see it. And I tell you, the Word of God says, give 10% of that. Give it to the Lord. Huh? And I've always done that. You pay your tithes or whatever you can. Huh? Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. He knows what you're going through financially and all this stuff. He knows what you're going through, huh? But I want to tell you something. I've always done that. My dad has done that. Pay the top 10%, huh? And I'll tell you what, I'll pour out a blessing upon you that you will not be able to attain. And I thought about that. I thought about my condition, my health condition, my friend. What's going to happen with me in the future? I've got along this well, huh? But God has blessed me and pushes me on, and I keep going on, and I keep giving the first fruits of my income.
Amen.
Amen? Huh? I don't have to preach on tithing in this church. God bless this church. You people's made it happen. The coffer is full today. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. We're able to do what we're doing. Helping others, my friend. Building the kingdom of God in this little church. Be thankful. Be grateful. And be humble. Amen. I want to tell you something. One of the greatest virtues, is that the name? Word I want to use for a Christian is to be humble. Humbleness is next to godliness. Amen. Huh? The humble people. I tell you, I worked in construction for quite a while before I ever got this job. We work for different people, huh? And those who had the money, those who are well off, huh? We go do a job for them. They would nitpick. They would look at everything, huh? Just, and they had the right to look and nitpick, I guess, whatever, huh? Made sure they got everything they wanted and how they wanted it to be done. Which is right. Huh? But you know the attitude they had. And then we worked for other people that never had much money. Huh? And they were so thankful for what you did. Huh? They were so happy. Huh? Humbleness is next to godliness. Amen. We're to stay humble because we are nothing without God. We are nothing without Christ.
Right.
Amen. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Oh, this is something you want to take a hold of. The Holy Spirit is represented as fire because His work is to enlighten and make alive the soul, and to purge, purify it, purifying and refining it. It is to get all the unholy things out of the heart. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. That means put out, quench means put out the flames of a fire. If there is any act done in word spoken or temper or indulged contrary to the dictates of the control of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, forgiveness, etc. So if there is any anger, malice, revenge, or any other kind of unholy temper or unrighteousness, this will quench the Spirit. And then he will lose his influence. Then the heart becomes hard, huh, and dark. Amen. Quench not the Spirit. Huh? Oh, my friend, there's times that I've done this. Huh? Times that I've done this in my life, and boy, did I ever pay for it. Huh? I tell you what, listen. The Holy Spirit was given to us for a reason. Amen? It was given to us because you and I cannot be a Christian on our own. Huh? We need help, huh, from heaven above. Huh? And I tell you, that Holy Spirit guides and directs our conscience. Huh? Listen, we are faced with so much opposition as people of God. Huh? Because the world, huh, is not in us, but we are in the world. Amen? Huh? But I tell you what, listen, when sin comes and it appears, my friend, huh? Turn from it, huh? And obey your conscience and obey the Holy Spirit, huh? Because if you put Him out, huh? If you put out that fire, I'll tell you where you're going to go. You're going to go keep going down spiritually, huh? You'll go into a backslidden stage, huh? And you'll pay for it. You'll suffer for it. Quench not the Spirit. Huh? And this one here, if I'm not mistaken, I can't kind of... it goes here. Move back up here. And the Holy Spirit... excuse me. Being quenched can cause so many problems in our spiritual life. You know, I got a book, and I never read all the way through it. But all this writer speaks about is the Holy Spirit and what He is and who He is. And I think that we kind of get off and cast Him aside. But the Holy Spirit is a person. The third person of the Trinity. Huh? Not a visible person. Huh? But it is a person. If you notice, Jesus said He. Huh? Him. Huh? Capitalized. Huh? That's meaning a person. Amen? And He's there. You know, Jesus said, it is important that I go away. If I go not away, I'll send not the Comforter. I'll send not the Holy Spirit. But if I send Him, huh? He'll guide you into all truth. Huh? He'll guide you into all the ways of life that every Christian is to walk after. Amen? So if we quench Him, we're in trouble. That's why Paul said that. Quench not the Spirit. Huh? Or you're going to go downhill spiritually. Amen? And if you do quench the Spirit, get on your knees and pray and ask God to forgive you. And He will. Amen. Why? Because you're representing His name. Amen. You're a Christian. Huh? You're His child. Praise God. Despise not the prophesied sayings. Prove all things. These kind of go together. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Let's do this. Despise not the preaching. Don't think you can get too good of a Christian that you don't need the preaching. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's 2 Corinthians 10:12. Without the preaching of God's word, And without the instructions of the Holy Spirit, it gives through the preaching, one cannot preserve their Christian life. They who neglect the means of grace, and especially the preaching of God's word, are generally in vain, empty, and self-conceited people. Prove all things, by the word of that preaching, to prove all things by the word of Christ. And if it lines up with Christ and the gospel and the word of God, then that is sound preaching. Amen. Hold fast. If the preaching has a tendency to increase your faith, love, and holiness, and usefulness, hold fast to that. That is where many of in this time, Paul spoke this, because in his time, there were many false preachers of his day. This is so vitally important. That's why I appreciate your people praying for me, because I need it. I don't have the education and the experience in the Bible and in spiritual things like I need to have. I'm being honest with you this morning. I need your prayers and your help. But the preaching is vitally important to your eternal soul. The man of God has to preach the truth and bring the truth out. Whether you like it or whether you don't, it has to be preached on. Right. Amen. And I tell you what, if you're sincere in your walk with Christ and your walk with God and you're humble, my friend, good preaching is going to feed your soul. And it's going to help you, my friend. And you'll hold fast to those things that are good. Amen. I tell you, listen to the preaching, but examine it. That's what Paul was saying. Whatever that preacher says, look in your Bible, Look it up, see what it says. See if he's right. See if he's preaching the truth. If he's not, find another church. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. I thought about the churches he's been in, and he's told me some stories about it. He said it's a shame, but that's where a lot of the weakness is. It's in the preaching. You see, people come, you came here this morning, not only to worship God and to congregate together and feed off of each other, but you came also to hear the word of God. You came also, like Audie says, he comes to, he said, if I don't amen you or say anything, he said, it's not that. He said, I'm thinking about what you said. I'm trying to digest it and bring it in. That's what we ought to be doing. Amen. The preaching is vital and important. And if you don't have that in a church, basically you don't have anything. Amen. People, it said in the last days, people be running to and fro. Listen to me. To and fro. Trying to find. Now listen. Where the word of God and the truth is being preached at. In the last days. We're here. That's happening right now. People are running to and fro to find a church where there's true preaching, where their souls can be fed. You know what the sad thing about it is? When they don't find it, they just give up. And now that's sad. I talked to people. They said, yeah, we used to go to church years ago. Things happened in the church. We got discouraged. Fights, breakups, whatever. And we just quit going. We went to this church, we went to that church, and our souls were just not fed. I want to tell you something. I thought about this. regardless, people, of what's going on in the church or outside of the church or around the church, we have to have an anchor in our personal relationship with Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Huh? Yes, all these things matter. Good preaching, good fellowship, good service, it all matters. But I tell you what, when it comes down to the breaking point, if you ain't got something to hold on to, you're going to break off and fall. That's why you got to hold on to Christ and that personal relationship, my friend. Regardless of whatever way it goes, I'm going with Christ to the very end of this thing. Amen? Regardless of what takes place. I can't remember the scripture where it said in Timothy, take heed to thyself. He's talking to Timothy as a preacher. In other words, I'll try to interpret it. You preach the truth, Timothy. You preach, God's word. Amen. You preach what I've taught you. And what you heard of me. So you can save the congregation. The people that are in the pews. And what else? That you can, so you'll save yourself. That's me. Amen. Preach this way. Like I told you, the preaching is just as much for me as it is for you. Amen. I want to tell you another thing, and I don't know if I need to go down this road here or not. But I want to tell you something. This is how I felt, and I've always felt about it all of my life. If you're able to be in church, you need to be in church to hear the preaching. I don't know. There's no such thing. I can't grasp it, I guess, that a person who is born again of the Spirit, that God's life has changed and made anew and felt the presence of heaven in their own soul, how could they neglect the house of God and the family of God and the preaching of God? That's how I feel about it. They're empty and they don't have anything. I don't care whatever sicknesses and all this stuff. I believe they should be in the house of God. If you've experienced what I just said. Amen. That's your desire. You want to be there. You want to be where God's people's at. You want to be where the word is preached. You want to hear the testimonies. You want to sing the songs of victory. Amen. You know, when this COVID hit and all that stuff, there's people still today that's taking advantage of that. They're staying home. They're drinking their coffee and eating their donuts. I ain't got nothing against that. Just not in the church. But what they're doing, they're just standing around in their, or sitting around in their pajamas in the Lazy Boy. And the church that they used to attend and was faithful in being there, they're watching the preacher on YouTube. I said, go give an account one of these days for that. Amen. I'm glad I'm not the judge. Praise God. I didn't even know I was going to go there. Where are we at here? Verse 22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is a very good to follow. Abstain. That means restrain oneself from doing or enjoying something. Sin not and avoid even the appearance of sin. As children of God, the Holy Spirit will guide our conscience. I know I said this. When sin appears before us, and we have a choice to make. Either abstain from it or give in to it. We are called to live a holy life. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. Like I said, I thought about that. I'll tell you what. I got cable TV, and I'm sure some of you's got it too. But I tell you what, a lot of things on TV ain't worth watching. Ain't nothing but filth. I tell you what, I can... You know what? I didn't know I was going to go here, Dale, but we're here. We're on TVs, okay? The old preachers, you remember this, church? The old preachers all the time said, get rid of the television, Because that's what it is. It's something, out of hell, from Hollywood, you know? And my dad, bless his heart, he didn't know anything about religion. He didn't know nothing about, this salvation. And when God saved him, there was people in his life that had an influence. The preacher told him, you don't need that TV. You don't need it. Get away from it. So he went home out of ignorance, took the TV, and put it up in the attic. Pam probably remembers this. Pam and Mike was just little kids. You know my mom, she's pretty boy-headed. She had the TV for the kids. They had cartoons on it. Stuff like that. Simple stuff, She told him something. I think maybe this ain't the right words. You better go up and get the TV and bring it back down. Or you can go somewhere else. She said, you explain to me. She said, basically, I'm just paraphrasing, okay? Basically, she said this. All the kids are done and me are watching cartoons and the things on the TV. We don't have it on for any evil. We're watching things we shouldn't be watching. He come around. He understood that. And my dad told me, he said, listen, don't you ever try to live someone else's convictions.
That's right.
Because
that's
right. It'll never work.
That's right.
Some of the convictions of people, white shirt, black ties, all you could wear. That's all the preachers could wear. Couldn't wear nothing else. The women had to dress, with the dresses down to their ankles. That was their conviction. They were preached to that way. But I want to tell you something. What's in here, what's inside our hearts, will tell us how to dress. Tell us what way to walk. I'll tell you what, we don't have to live after anybody else's convictions. Now I'm getting back to the TV. This is where I lost it. If there's ever a day you want to throw it out, today would be the day. Because of the filth and the garbage. Amen. I tell you what, I probably need to get rid of it because I don't watch it that much. But I love sports. I love football, basketball, baseball. Did I say basketball? College basketball just started. Michigan State, they're driving through. Got to watching that last night, It's just like the internet. It's just like your phones, All that stuff is available, but it's up to you to make the choices how you want to use it.
Right.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit will help us and guide us. Don't go to that site. Don't click on that. Because you already been there, Mark. You know what will pop up. If you click that again, it's the same thing. The devil's behind it. And he wants to lure you in, to get you away and quench the Spirit of God. That's how it works.
Right.
It's pretty simple, really, when you break it down. But this, Paul said and the Scripture said, abstain from all
appearance. That's the eyes in looking from evil. So when you see the evil, what's in it? When you see the sin behind it, turn away from it. And that way, you will quench the spirit. I think about Joseph, Potiphar's wife. I tell you what, I don't know what Joseph looked like, but he was a handsome man. Stocky man. Built man. Jew. Dark colored skin. But I tell you what, he was a man of God. And Potiphar's wife throwed herself on him. She wanted him, to lie with her. She dressed her best that night. She knew what was coming down, that Joseph would be in there, doing her husband's business, taking care of the records, and that he was going to be alone. That he was going to be by himself, and just her. And she throwed herself on him. She looked her best, smelled her best. She was at her best. You know what Joseph did? That was the appearance of evil, of sin. The scripture said he fled from her. In other words, he ran. That opportunity was there. He could have stayed and indulged in it. But what would have happened? He would have lost the Spirit of God. He would have quenched the spirit, the fire. I know I got to stop. But he ran. The evil was there. He seen it. And he abstained from it. And he won the victory. Guess what happened to him? He got thrown in prison. Got accused of things he didn't do. He didn't know what was going on. He's a great example for the Christian. He didn't know what was going on. But through his whole life, God was there. And he told his brothers that day, what you intended for evil for me, God saw it for good. I want to tell you, when Joseph was thrown in that prison, my friend, he was wondering, where in the world is the good in this? But God kept it faithful to him, because he kept faithful to God. And God blessed him. Put him in charge. Listen. As the head of Egypt. There was only one man powerful than him, and that was Pharaoh. He told Pharaoh everything to do. Pharaoh just listened to him. Amen. Praise God. Now listen. Let's go to this last verse here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sanctification. That means set apart. That means to be pure and holy and righteous in our hearts and set apart for the purpose of God. Okay? This is the whole goal of every Christian. Is to live a righteous and holy life. That God can use for his kingdom and for his purpose. Amen. And then I thought about the last part of this verse, the next one. He said here, this life that he's called you, he called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. And the reason is, to sanctify you holy, not only your whole spirit, soul, and body, but to preserve you blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. But it said here, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen? The one that called you out of this sinful world is faithful to keep you to the very last
breath of your life. How to keep you in the center of His will. Amen. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give this to you real quick, then I'm done. I thought about this. This was out of Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Our focus and our prize. You know who that is? You know who our prize is? That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus. The one single word holds the key to success in so many endeavors of life. Paul said, forgetting, listen, those things which are behind, what things? Past failures, past mistakes, past things I should have not done, past sins, past relationships, all the things that have done that we have done that has hindered my relationship with Christ, and I am getting and forgetting them, and now I am focused on my relationship with Jesus because he is my prize in this life. Heaven will be my eternal prize forever. Four things, and I'm done. Four things will happen when you focus on the prize. Number one, it will keep your priorities in order. Focusing on Jesus, like I said, Jesus is a prize. It will give you a forward-looking mindset that's important to spiritual growth. It will bring a fresh passion to our lives to press towards the mark God has called us for. And number four, it will give us the ability to know where we are headed. We are pressing for a goal, and that goal is heaven. The Greek word goal, translated in the English, means scope. Like the scope on a rifle, focus enables us to set our goals and priorities in the crosshairs. It allows us to know where we are going and how we are going to get there. Keep your life in focus by seeing Jesus as your prize. And when you do, you will be able to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. Focus. Huh? On the prize that lies ahead. Praise God forever. You get me this morning? Huh? The world and living in this life, takes our focus off of Jesus and the prize. But we got to stay focused upon Him, amen, to the very end.